Hello, everyone. I'm Jericho Spitz, your host of the THC Show, Talking Higher Consciousness. I would like to thank you for joining the show. Welcome you all on this journey of a dialogue about higher consciousness. We've been doing this since last June, and I want to, first of all, just show gratitude and appreciation for everyone who's been taking part in this dialogue, for everyone who's been watching it after the fact, for everybody who's commenting, calling in, asking questions, answering questions, becoming a part of the dialogue, like Monique Chavez. Hey, Monique, I see you. Thanks for joining the show. I want to just give a little slow intro while I give people a little more time to log in and get on board, because tonight's show is going to be about a serious topic, epigenetics, something that we hear here and there. Some of us may have not even heard that word, or maybe some of us have heard it, but we don't even know what it means. But oh, I see Hanya's there too. Hey, Hans. What's up, y'all? The tundra. You're bogus. Yes, the tundra. It's so cold in Chicago. So happy that I'm not freezing right now. I do miss a lot of my friends from Chicago and family, but I'd be lying if I didn't say I was happy to be where I'm at right now. Florida is really nice this time of year. It's only about 65 outside at night, 75, 80 in the day, and oh man, all I can do is just say I'm grateful. So thanks for that. Anyway, I wanted to, tonight's show is going to be about a topic that first was coined around maybe the 1980s. It's not necessarily a new science. It is a new science in the modern world, a new science that modern society is becoming aware of, but that some of the elites on the planet and some of the more esoteric scholars and philosophers and alchemists on the planet have always known about, but maybe by different names. But epigenetics is now becoming the new model for health and for medicine on this planet. Slowly but surely, I might add, but it's definitely growing, and the awareness of it is growing. And part of, me talking about this right now is to help spread awareness about what exactly epigenetics is. I think that one word associated with epigenetics that most of you, I'm sure that all of you have heard this word, and most of you probably know what this means, but this is what it boils down to, for the most part. Placebo. Now, when some people hear that word, they think fake medicine or a pill that doesn't work or something of that nature. But let me just preface this whole conversation by saying that it is a fact. This isn't about my opinion or any conspiracy theories or anything of that nature. This is a fact that you can go research on your own and find out that there are studies in which, say, 100 people all have the same illness, and they give half of the people a new medicine or an old medicine, or they give half of the people a medicine that works to cure this disease or illness, and they'll give the other half of the study group or the participants in the study or the research, the experiment, people being experimented on, they'll give them a placebo pill, which is basically a salt pill or a sugar pill or a pill that has no ingredient, basically, but the people think that they're taking a medicine. And nobody in the study group is told what they're being given. Everyone thinks that they're all given this new medicine. And they're all being told, oh, this new medicine, it's very, very promising. We've done some studies and it's looking really good, and people are being healed by it really, really quickly. So everyone who takes this pill in the study thinks that they're taking a medicine that is really going to work. And so the people who believe that it's going to work are finding out that it's going to work. Now, what they're finding out in some of these studies is that people, hey, what's up, cuz? Julia, how you doing? Thanks for joining the show. We're talking about epigenetics right now, and we're getting into the definition of what it is so that we can have a dialogue about epigenetics on the show tonight. Placebo is the bottom line. And we're talking about how in a study you can give, you know, half of the participants a new medicine that they think is going to work. And then you give the other half of the participants a placebo pill or a salt pill or sugar pill that has no medicine in it. But you tell them that you tell everyone in the study that they're all going to get the same pill and that this is a new medicine that is really going to work because it's promising. We've been seeing it in studies and we know that it works. So everyone in the study believes that this pill is going to work. And what they're finding out in these types of studies is that more people who are taking the placebo pills than actual medicine are being healed. And that says something about epigenetics. It says that medicine may work, but belief works better. Now, I want to let that sink in for a minute. There is a study where there's 100 people in the study who all have the same illness. Half of them take a real medicine that can actually cure the disease or illness, and the other half of them take a salt pill or a sugar pill. And more people are healed from the sugar or salt pill plus their belief that it will heal them than people who took the medicine. I want to like to let that sink in and think about what that means. That is amazing. It's amazing because what it's saying and what it is showing actual evidence of is that the mind can heal. The mind alone with just a sugar pill can heal. This isn't about my opinion. This is study after study after study after study after study after study for years. This science and doctors have known about this. Medicine has known about placebo since, you know, modern medicine started. People know that the mind can heal. Now, how do you hone the science behind placebo healing? How do you hone the science behind epigenetic healing? Well, that's a good question. Who has the answer to that? Well, there are a few people, leading doctors in the field of epigenetics and scientists that are prominent, becoming more prominent as we speak right now. Some of them whom I've been studying and listening to their lectures and studying their books and their you know, the first book that I had on that where I ever saw the term epigenetics was a book by Dr. Bruce Lipton called The Biology of Belief. And then he has another book called The Honeymoon Effect. This gentleman is probably the foremost and most prominent pioneer on epigenetics in at least the Western world that I've known about, in the English-speaking world that I've known about. And when I first read the book, The Biology of Belief, it really confirmed much of what I knew about the mind's ability to heal the body. And so what I think was required for me to be able to articulate that to someone who was not aware of the ability of the mind to heal was to have a scientific set of empirical data, empirical evidence to show beyond a shadow of a doubt that in a repeatable experiment, you can use the mind to heal. Now, once that empirical evidence is laid out and can be shared, now this process is going to start spreading like wildfire, because who wants to go pay a doctor when you can just heal with your mind? No one. So thus I'm here now giving you guys the keys to healing, those of you who don't already know about this. Request that anybody who has anything to say on this topic or even questions on this topic, please go in the comments and I'll, you know, leave a message, or you can actually call the number that is in the comments, 312-834-3420, call in and be a part of the show, join this dialogue, and let's talk about this. Let's talk about healing with the mind. That's what the topic of the show today is about, epigenetics. There's also another doctor. His name is Joe Dispenza. And I mean, this guy is catching on like wildfire. I think that it might be because rather than being a scientist, a neuroscientist or a cellular biologist like Dr. Bruce Lipton is and was at the University of, I believe, the University of Michigan, maybe a different university, but I think that that's where he was a tenured professor at. And he came up with empirical evidence to show that cells can change into other types of cells, and consciousness is the environmental factor that dictated that change. For example, a fat cell could become a bone cell. A bone cell can become a skin cell. A skin cell can become a fat cell. A fat cell can become a hair cell. Like any type of, basically what this means is every cell is a stem cell. Every cell is a stem cell. You go and you get stem cells because you think that you don't have the types of cells that you need in order to heal your body, but there's basically every type of cell can be made from any type of cell in your body. And if your mind is not being limited by some of the fear-based things that go into the programming we receive from school, from health class, from television, from all of the health shows and all of the different cancer commercials and all the things about health and consciousness that we receive from the media that limit us from believing our way into health and happiness and healing. We have to defeat that. And that's why I'm here right now talking about epigenetics. I see my nephew Stefan joined in. My buddy Vinny joined in. I'm so glad you guys joined the show. Thank you for joining. Please, please chime in. You can call the number 312-834-3420 or leave a comment in the section and I'll respond to it. I'm just trying to get as many people to join this dialogue as possible because, like I said, this is not about me. This is about us. And I'm just here trying to bring topics a lot of people may not know about, and some of us may know about them, but may not be able to articulate their thoughts about how to discuss this in public. So a lot of people feel like, you know, if they get online and they start talking about some of the hard topics and start talking about the controversial topics, they may be a little hard to discuss because I got all this political correctness around things and, you know, whatnot. I'm here to assist in facilitating a dialogue about these things. And there's nothing wrong with telling the truth. There's nothing wrong with bringing the truth to the forefront. We shall not be condemned for bringing truth to light and for the truth about what's really going on. So we're going to try to facilitate that process with this dialogue called Talking Higher Consciousness, and that's why I started it. And I just want to thank everybody who's joining and who's watching the show, or even people who are coming and downloading it later or listening to the podcast on Spotify and Breaker and everywhere else that we got it listed at, and on YouTube. Just check us out, and if you forget where we're at, just go to the thcshow.com and you can see all the platforms that we're on. And I hope that you go there and support the show. You can subscribe, become a monthly, get a monthly subscription to support the show and, you know, make it possible for me to continue doing this and make it easier for me to continue doing this so that I have more resources to pour into the show and I can, you know, continue this and keep it on the air for as long as possible and actually upgrade the show and make it better and better as the time progresses. So that being said, what I want to get into is another doctor and then talk about a few different people that are the leading pioneers and proponents of epigenetics today. So like I said, Joe Dispenza is a doctor who is very, very well known and becoming more well known. And he is getting harder and harder to access as he blows up and his knowledge about epigenetics and what he's doing around the world teaching. And I think that the reason that he might be gaining fame, and from my perspective, at least, and what I see online, if faster than Dr. Bruce Lipton might be, is because Dr. Bruce Lipton is a cellular biologist. And Dr. Joe Dispenza was a medical doctor, an actual medical practitioner. So not that he deserves more trust, But I think that the way people are programmed in the United States, at least, hey, Gina, thanks for joining the show, girl. We're talking about epigenetics and healing with your mind. But I do think that Joe Dispenza, because he was a medical doctor, may automatically receive more trust from people because he's a medical doctor. And everyone knows that after watching Hollywood and watching all the sitcom television shows and all the stuff that we've seen where somebody comes out with a white coat and a stethoscope, and we immediately know that's like a badge of authority. And we automatically believe what he says because, you know, look how many people smoked and thought that smoking was okay because there was doctors on TV in the 50s saying, oh, I smoke Marlboros, I'm a doctor. You know, people did that. And so now you have, you know, doctors and that are getting on television saying, hey, you should take this opiate, you should take this psych med, you should take this fat pill. There's all of these different kickbacks that doctors receive from pushing pharmaceutical drugs to people who don't need those drugs. And maybe there's other treatments that people could try before having some of these unnecessary invasive pharmaceuticals and surgeries shoved down their throat. And so that's one of the reasons why I love Dr. Joe Dispenza, because he goes around the world teaching people. He's a medical doctor who, you know, was taught in medical school that you have to give people prescriptions and you know, and they're not taught in medical school anything about nutrition. Go and ask your doctor, go and ask your nurse, go and ask your surgeon, ask people in the medical field how much of their 8 years of education getting a doctorate was tied to nutrition. How much nutrition as medicine education did they receive in their 8 years of medical education? And they're gonna tell you none. There are doctors who are saying that they don't teach nutrition in med school as medicine. They teach you how to fix what's wrong, but preventing what's wrong, or at least stopping what caused the disease in the first place, should be the first thing that we try before we go giving people pills, before we go cutting people hearts out and cutting, you know, people's body parts out. We should be saying, hey, if you want to be healed, are you ready to give up what caused the illness in the first place? And if you're not ready to give that up, then you're not ready to be healed. And I refuse to sit here and keep doing liposuction when you're going to keep eating high fructose corn syrup. It makes no sense. So, long story short, what I love about Dr. Joe Dispenza is that he's a medical doctor who went to medical school and has a medical practice, but has since learned about epigenetics and is spreading the knowledge and teaching actual methodology to people about how to use your mind to heal anything, not only in your body, but in your life. So that being said, if you are not up on these guys, if you're not up on Dr. Bruce Lipton, buy his book, The Biology of Belief. Get it on Audible, however you got to get the information into your mind. But this is the next step in human evolution, the next step in human healing, and the next step in human medicine, you know? I know you do. Oh, you're so crazy. But yeah, you got to just stop what made you have to need for that in the first place. You know, somebody said in the comments, I love liposuction. I don't think you love it. I heard it really hurts. I'm pretty sure it wasn't that enjoyable of an experience for you. But do you want to have to go through that again is my question. And if you don't want to have to go through liposuction again, then you have to ask yourself what caused the need for liposuction in the first place. And if you're not ready to give that up, then you're going to probably have to keep paying for liposuction. And I mean, it's like this. People say, well, how do you go and, you know, eat all this organic food? It costs so much. You know, you got to pay this much for organic food and all that. And I don't want to pay that much. I'd rather go to McDonald's and just get by some cheap garbage food. Well, here's the thing. You're going to pay for it now, or you can pay it to a doctor later, but you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay for good health because it costs money for good health when you live in a country and in a society where your health is being attacked on all levels 24/7. You can't walk outside in a city in the United States and not have electronic attack on your body everywhere you go. You're being attacked. And now that 5G is rolling out everywhere, it's going to get even worse. There are municipalities in this country that have successfully sued the FCC, sued the government to remove 5G from their locations because it's causing cancer in people, because it's causing disruption in thought, because it's causing health issues in people. People are sitting here like, oh, we want faster internet, faster internet, faster internet, faster cell phones, faster, faster, faster. Everybody wants it so fast. But all that's getting people is a faster grave, faster trips to the hospital. But, you know, I'm not the expert. I'm just telling you what I'm seeing and what I'm gathering everywhere I go. This is what I'm seeing. And so what I want to do is point out some of the people that we can turn to learn. For those of us who don't know, we want to learn more about how to use our mind to heal our bodies and to heal other things in our lives. Well, definitely check out the book called The Biology of Belief by Dr. Joe Bruce Lipton. And then check out Supernatural by Dr. Joe Dispenza. These books are, just imperative, mandatory to have in the fight against what's attacking us on a daily basis. Now, I mean, we all know about the food. We know that we're being attacked by food. Most of us don't know how. And that's why I suggest people, like, take a break from some of the distractions and get online and do some research and start finding out what you're putting into your body. Because, I mean, if you're not aware, you know, then how can you stop the attacks? And if you don't stop the attacks, then you're going to find yourself in the early grave, or you're going to find yourself spending the time and resources you should have spent researching and buying good food and preventative health care, which is just eating right and exercising. You're going to find yourself spending that time and money giving it to a doctor or a hospital later on in life, and it's unnecessary. And so I want to do what I can to inspire and influence and educate people on the journey to a healthier lifestyle. And what that's going to lead to is a healthier mind, because your body is a computer and your brain is part of that computer. And if you were to take the computer that you're watching me on right now, whether it be a computer, a tablet, a cell phone, this is a device that requires a certain voltage and wattage, a certain amount of fuel in the form of electricity. Now, if I was to give this device too much voltage, too much wattage, too much amp, too much of what it needs, that would be too much, and it could blow it out and it could end the life of this device. The same way, too much of the fuel that your body needs can end your life. So everything in moderation. So I'm not trying to shame anyone. I'm not trying to condescend to anyone. I'm definitely not trying to make anyone feel anything other than love from me and compassion from me. But I do want to extend the invitation for education about what we are. We are machines. We are technology. We are consciousnesses that are connected to this beautiful, wonderful technology called the human body. But most of us haven't read the handbook. We haven't read the manual, because they don't give us a proper manual about how to do the right thing with this technology. And I think that it's not because the manual isn't out there. The manual is called research. The manual is called, don't listen to anything that Jericho Spitz has to say. Do the research on your own and find out for yourself. You know, there's a lot of fake news and a whole lot of fake research out here and stuff, but like, you got to hold stuff to your heart and you know what's right for you. You'll feel it. You'll know it. But if you don't embark on a journey of education about, you know, your body and your mind and how to heal it, then you'll never know. So for those of you who trust me and trust my own research, let that be the diving board that you leap from. Take what I'm saying and let that, you know, sink in a little bit. Critique what I'm saying. Take what you need and what you want from it, and then jump off the diving board into Google and start researching and find out what is right for your body. Your body's not like mine. My body's a little different. I get that, you know, and everybody doesn't have to eat the same food. Everybody doesn't have to do this and that. But all I'm saying is that if you don't understand and know how you're being attacked, then you can't prevent it. So you need to do some research about who's attacking you and how. How are you being attacked through food? And when I say attacked, I mean attacked, because some of the people that are attacking you own the pharmaceutical companies that are going to cure you, or not cure you, but that are going to ease the symptoms after they have you all damaged, you know? And so what I'm trying to do is inform people about these things. Like, for example, I've been talking a little bit on the show lately about RNA interference technology and how that can damage. They can attack certain racial groups. They can attack certain genders. They can attack certain groups through food, through altering the DNA of the food that you're eating. They don't have to go put a chemical into a packaged food. They can give you a raw fruit, a banana, an orange, a tomato, grapes. They can alter those foods so that those foods can attack you, make you sterile, change your eye color if they want to. That's what they can do with food now. And for those of you that don't know that they can attack you with produce, get on Google and type in RNA interference technology. It's not new. It's not new at all. It's just that we didn't know about it. There's patents on this. This is what they're doing. They are altering the DNA of food, and it can be used as a weapon, a bioweapon to attack you. And you don't have a way, not even that it's got to be people in our country. We import food from all over the world, and we have no way of knowing that food that we're importing from some other country is not attacking us. You have no way of knowing. So a lot of people might ask, well, what can I do about it? I'm just a little guy. I don't have a lot of money. I can't, you know. Well, I think that moving towards a place and moving towards the type of society that encourages people to learn how to grow their own food. And I know that a lot of us don't have land. Well, if you don't own your house, if you don't have a backyard, well, where can you grow food? I mean, you can literally hydroponically grow food in your house. And I'm not trying to say that, you know, everyone has the resources to do that right now. I understand that everyone doesn't. But what I'm trying to say is learning about that and moving towards that. Maybe in a year or two, maybe in a few years, maybe, you know, you and your family like start understanding what's going on here and understand the importance of growing your own food. Why do you think Monsanto has spent so many years and so many billions of dollars suing farmers out of business? Suing farmers out of business. Go and do some Googling on what Monsanto is, who this company is, and what they're about. Follow the money and find out who owns Monsanto. And this will change how you look at food. It will change how you look at health. You know, I just hope that, you know, you take it upon yourself to realize that if you're an adult, okay, I've said this more than once, if you're an adult, you know, it's up to you to fix your programming. You're not really to be held responsible for how you were programmed and what was happening to you as a kid before you were old enough to say yes or no or make those decisions about your life. So yeah, a lot of us got messed up by our parents not knowing any better. But as an adult, it is your responsibility and your responsibility alone to fix you if you're broken. And how many of us are not broken? Most of us are broken and being broken more because we're being fed things that are breaking us and not understanding those attacks and how we're being attacked does not help the situation. And so you can listen to some of the things that I'm saying about how you're being attacked, but see, everybody doesn't eat the same diets and everybody doesn't do this and that. And so you need to get, you know, responsible and take responsibility for your own knowledge base about what's going into your body. It's up to you to get on whatever search engine you have access to and research everything that you can about the foods that you're eating. I mean, most people have never even like went into a grocery store, bought some grapes, and actually went on the label and Googled the farm where these were grown at and looked at the reviews of the farm. Are these grapes being picked by happy people? or angry people who are mad at the management of this farm and how bad they treat their employees. I mean, some of this matters because fear can be attached to your food. Anger can be attached to your food. That's why you don't want to eat some of these. I mean, even people that eat meat like you eat factory farm meat. These are coming from animals that are dying in fear, that are living in squalor, that are unhappy animals. So the meat is toxic and has fear in it, as opposed to if you had a happy cow in your own pasture, you know, that got a really happy life and got to run around and mate with other cows and have a really jolly good time eating all the grass it wanted. And then, you know, you said thank you to this cow for giving its life up so you could have a meal and feed your family. And then you killed it and you ate it. You wouldn't have as much toxicity from that cow as you would from a factory farm cow. These animals aren't stupid. They know they're gonna die. They know what's happening. The same way, you know, you had slaves on plantations and stuff like that, and like people treated them like cattle. They knew what was going on. People aren't stupid. Animals aren't stupid. Animals have consciousnesses too, and they know what's going on. That's why I stopped eating meat. And I'm not trying to condemn people that eat meat. I understand it's a process, and it took me years to go from being a meat eater that I grew up being to getting to a place where that's not even an option for me now. But so, and I'm not trying to condemn anyone or make anyone feel bad who does eat meat. But I do want to say that the more pure your diet becomes. And by pure, I mean the more organic plants, because that's what human beings are designed to eat. We don't have claws and fangs, and we don't have the tools necessary to naturally just eat a chicken. You have to have a knife. You have to have technology. You have to cook it. You have to do something unnatural to it in order to eat it. And because of that, I feel personally now that I wasn't born and meant to eat meat, so I don't. But if I ever was going to eat meat because I had to, or I die, then I would definitely want to catch it myself, and I would definitely want to kill it myself, and I would definitely thank it for giving up its life so that I could eat. And wow, I just, I probably would rather sun gaze personally than eat meat, but that's a whole nother topic. I actually want to do a show on sun gazing. I started that about 20 years ago. I tried it out. I went about 3 weeks without any food at all, and I didn't lose any weight because the sun was giving me everything that I needed nutrient-wise. Actually blew my mind, because when I first read about it in this book, I thought, like, okay, this is mumbo-jumbo. But I had to try it just to see. And, I mean, I was playing basketball every day, lifting weights, and I'm thinking that I'm going to be starving. But after about 2 or 3 days of doing this, sitting, staring at the sun, meditating, staring directly into the sun, receiving energy from it, 30 minutes, 3 times a day. After about 3 days, I lost my appetite. Food, it was like to try to eat was like eating when you're already full, because I was getting full, and it was just, man, it blew my mind. What's up, Joel French? Thanks for joining the show. Appreciate you coming and hollering at us, man. Anybody that wants to call into the show and become part of the dialogue, you can call 312-834-3420. And you can also leave a comment and, make sure your thoughts are heard about anything else that, you know, we're talking about, and I'll shout out your comment and respond to it. If you don't want to have your voice on the actual podcast, that's totally okay. But so we've been talking about epigenetics. That was the topic of the show, and I was just bringing up some of the main pioneers and the leading scientists and doctors out here going around the world teaching people that you can actually heal with your mind. And a lot of us like might hear that and think that, oh, you know, that sounds crazy. But I invite you to read a book, to read 2 books. Read Supernatural by Dr. Joe Dispenza, and read The Biology of Belief by Dr. Bruce Lipton. And if you get through both of these books and you don't see the potential for healing yourself with your mind, come back and talk to me, because we probably can like educate you a little bit more on the subject, because it's real. And I mean, I know that I personally did it. I've healed parts of my body that had permanent damage by just using my mind and diet, by just juicing vegetables every day for 3 months. I lost 30 pounds and I healed permanent damage in both of my knees, which I had torn ACLs in my 20s. And I went all well into my 30s. I had damage and it hurt. I would go play basketball and it would hurt after that. And then I had, in the middle of a ceremony, remembered that I can heal with my mind, and I did it. And I know it can be done. And so I want to promote that to people, because You know, I know that there's probably going to be a lot of people in the medical industries that might not want this kind of information being out to the general public, and they don't want people knowing that you can actually heal with your mind. But I'm here to tell you that it's real and that you can, and I stand on that. And like I said, I've given you the information that anyone would need to embark on a journey of research into epigenetics, to embark on a journey of healing with your mind. Jesus did it. Jesus healed people without medicine. And if he could do it, he said, I have done great works, you shall do greater works. Ye are gods. And if you don't, you know, believe him, then hey, why would you believe me? I say, listen to Jesus. Jesus said you can do greater things than he did. So if he healed with his hands and his mind, why can't you? Good question. So I invite you to check those books out, and I would love to, anybody that, you know, is inspired by those, please feel free to come back in the group and give your testimony and like post and let everybody else in the group know what your thoughts are on the book. You know, if you read it and if you recommend the book, please come back in the group, post in the THC group, which one of these books you read, either Supernatural by Dr. Joe Dispenza or the Biology of Belief by Dr. Bruce Lipton. If you read one of those books, which I highly recommend, then please come back and let me know, let the group know what you think about the book. And if you think it's garbage and it's just a bunch of BS, let us know that. We just want to know your thoughts. Like I said, this is not me saying, oh, this is it and I'm right. You know, it's not that kind of dialogue. This is supposed to be a dialogue where we all come together and share our beliefs and share our information and share our thoughts. And, you know, whether anybody joins into the dialogue vocally or not, I'm just going to keep talking, and I'll always look in the comments and comment on what you guys are saying. And anybody that, you know, has something to say on the topic, we appreciate you joining the dialogue. So I've been talking now for about 36 minutes and nobody's chimed in on anything. I just wanted to basically bring epigenetics to the forefront of discussion for today, which I think I've done, and I've kind of redundantly ran it into the ground almost. I mean, you can't really do that because there's so much to talk about on the subject. But rather than me go and try to present information that these guys have already put out in a very comprehensive manner in these books, I think you guys should just read the books, because that's why, you know, they published them. So you could have a comprehensive manual to start on this journey. And I'm going to leave it at that. There's a whole lot of other things that have been happening that I kind of want to talk about. For one, someone's calling. Let's see. Hold on one second here. Let's see. Hello. Hello. How are you? Can you turn down the video that I'm on, that you're watching me on? Is that, it's giving back. Oh, okay. Go ahead. I'm listening. Thank you for joining the show. What's your name for the audio? Thanks for calling in, honey. Thank you for calling in. What's your testimony? Share it with us, please. Yes. No. Turn the TV down. I mean, not the TV, but the monitor. Yeah. Turn the live feed off, and then I can hear you on the phone. Yes. Perfect.
Definitely. Thank you so much for sharing.
So does your mother know about the term epigenetics? Well, you should give her that word to Google and do some research on it, just to. And you, have you ever had any? Have you personally ever had any mind healing on your own? Well, I saw that Monique just put it in the comments asking, could we repeat something? But I wasn't sure exactly what she wanted to repeat it. But I just wanted to say thank you so much for calling in and giving your testimony. I appreciate it. And as always, you know, thank you so much for just joining the show in general and for watching and being a part of this dialogue. Is there anything else you'd like to say? Okay. Well, you have a wonderful night. You're more than welcome. Thank you so much for joining. I'll talk to you later. Have a good night.
All right. Bye-bye.
So that was Hanya and giving her testimony about her mother. That was wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that. It's been almost about 45 minutes now, and I think that I'm going to wind it on down for tonight, because I didn't know if we were going to get into a lot of other different topics, or if we were just going to keep it on epigenetics and let that be the topic of the show. And so the main thing that I wanted to do was kind of point people in the right direction on self-healing, and try to get people away from invasive technologies and invasive medications and prescriptions and surgeries and things that, if it's unnecessary. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand that technology is part of evolution. But when your technology advances past your spiritual ability to handle it, it can cause problems. Look at Lemuria and Atlantis. There have been places in the past where arguably the technology surpassed the spirituality. And it seems to me that we live in a society today that is very much so on that path. And what I'm doing is trying to spread awareness of how to prevent us from going down that road again. And watching how the government of the United States at least has made people so dependent on government rather than dependent on ourselves for sustenance and for life and for medicine, which should just be food, rather than depending on corporations and government, I think is one of the biggest power grabs that they've ever participated in. They've taken our own power away from us to be healthy and to be happy on our own. So I advise, I admonish, I recommend all of you to start learning as much as you possibly can about how to use food for medicine and how to use medicine for food, like Hippocrates suggested years ago. There's another call coming in. One second. That is here. Hello, you're live on the THC show. Thanks for calling. Hello, you're live on the THC show with Jericho. Yeah, this is Jericho. Who am I speaking with? Hi, Monique. How are you? Hey, Stardust. Thank you. Yeah, this is your first time calling us. Well, thanks for joining. Oh, okay. Well, she was saying that her mom had her mom had psychological issues from an incident, and that she was able to use natural means to overcome the trauma from that rather than pills or any type of invasive technology. So basically an epigenetics testimony of using the mind to heal rather than taking pills or doing what doctors might prescribe when someone has mental issues, you know? Yeah, and someone in another country. Because, well, you have to realize that any country that you're not, I'm sorry? Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's definitely... It's not that it's something that's new. People have known for a long time that the mind can heal. It's just that now there's a science with empirical evidence that is backing it up that can't be disputed now. And Dr. Bruce Lipton was the first person that I ever heard about who had repeatable lab experiments that showed that the consciousness and thought could change the cell type of cells in your body. From a fat cell to a skin cell, or from a skin cell to a bone cell, and that the environmental factor necessary to do that was only the mind. And he proved that in repeatable studies. So that's empirical evidence. And the university that he worked for, I think it was the University of Michigan or Wisconsin, one of those up in the Midwest, they would not publish his findings because it went against everything that medical science teaches today. So rather than tell people the truth, your mind can heal, they decided to tell him, we're not publishing your work, so go fuck yourself. And so what he said, and that's what he did, he gave up his tenured position as a professor at a major university that wouldn't publish his truthful findings about how powerful we are, and he wrote a book about it so that the world can know. And that's what I call a freedom fighter. Some people might call him a whistleblower, but I call him a hero. I call him a hero and a martyr, and I think that he deserves praise. He deserves our support, and that's why I recommend people to buy his book, because he gave up his livelihood and his career so that you could know the truth about how powerful you are. I have nothing but respect for someone like that. So that being said, oh, you mean the documentary on YouTube, or do you mean the actual book, the Audible book? Yeah, well, the documentary on YouTube is like an interview with him talking about the evidence that's in the book. either way, as long as you're getting the evidence, wherever you get it from, just listen to Dr. Bruce Lipton lecture, and he's going to tell you what, he's going to give you the same information that's in the book. I just recommend the book because it rather than a conversation, it's like a perfect summarization of, or a perfect summary of all of the evidence that he's collected and presented in a very comprehensive manner that's been edited by someone so that it's very comprehensive and easy to understand. Like an 8-year-old kid could read this book and get that their mind can heal. It's not that difficult. It's not a college level.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I can say one thing for sure. Your voice is powerful. So when you give voice to something, when you tell a body part that you love it, it's the same effect. It's going to have the same effect as that guy, that Japanese scientist there was a Japanese scientist that was doing these experiments where he was writing his I love you or I hate you on glasses of water and then freezing the water and taking pictures of the molecules, and he was demonstrating empirical evidence that your consciousness can change the molecular structure of water. So if your body is made out of water, 80% water, then saying I love you or I hate you to a body part is going to literally scientifically proven have an effect on it. Now, most people don't understand, might not understand that, but I'm telling you now that there is empirical evidence to show that that is real. And if you don't know it, just get on Google, do some research, or hit up Monique Chavez, and maybe she can direct you to the evidence that convinced her to start doing that. But I definitely see merit in that, and I think that, it's a good thing to do. I do it personally, actually myself too, definitely talk to your body and tell it how much you love it. That can't hurt, So thanks for sharing that. I really appreciate you joining the show, first of all, and definitely thanks for bringing in, your voice to the dialogue. Thank you. Well, I hope that every time we have a show, I hope you come in, join the show and call in every show. I mean, this is open for everybody to call in and not just me. Like, I just want to basically introduce the, new topics that people either are unaware of or afraid to talk about in public, or, maybe there's too much political correctness or controversy around a topic and people just don't want to approach it in a public forum. But I'm here to instigate these conversations because these are things that people need to be talking about. People need to be made aware of. So I just... Yeah, I think most people know that for sure. It's not even funny anymore, But I'm just glad that there are a lot of people waking up right now. Our consciousness, collective consciousness on this planet is cyclical. And it's a cycle. We go up and we go down. And right now we're on the upswing and consciousness is spreading like wildfire. And people are growing and people are growing and people are becoming more and more aware and they're spreading it. And the more that happens, the harder and harder it's going to be for people who are not conscious to still exist here. So I admonish you. I admonish everyone to please, please, please put some time into yourself, into learning and growing and learning about your body and your health, because you're not going to get that on television. You're not going to get that, on video games and sports, and you're not going to get that out of the nightclub. You're not going to get that from drugs and alcohol. You're going to get that from going inside and doing research online. You got to take some time out of your day to put into becoming a better you. And that personal journey will do nothing but benefit you. So I recommend that. And like I said, thanks everybody for joining the show and watching and becoming a part of the dialogue and commenting and is supporting the THC show and the Talking Higher Consciousness movement and just supporting Jericho Spitz in general. I do hope you know that I love you guys and I appreciate you all so much. I promise that I will. If anything ever comes to mind if any of my friends or anybody that I know, has an experience that I'm aware of, and I feel like relating that experience to the world, to the public, or to anyone in private could help someone's life in any way, I will do that. I will always do that. Unless I feel like it would be invading someone's privacy. I talk about it. Yeah, I definitely feel like, I've been on a path myself, towards better health, better eating and things like that. But, it's not just about eating right
and exercising, that's just half of it. That's not even half of it. That's a small part. The majority of what's going to determine your health and your longevity is how you think. And that's what The Biology of Belief by Dr. Bruce Lipton and Supernatural by Joe Dispenza and other books by these authors will start to make you, will start to empower you to reprogram yourself with this kind of information, with information that's going to change the habits that you have with regard to thinking. We have these neuronal patterns set in our mind, and it makes it easy for us to keep thinking the same toxic thoughts. And all it does is give us an early death, you know, disease and dis-ease and, you know, uncomfortable, you know, existences. And I'm just trying to do my part in making people aware that the power to change that is in your hands and your hands alone. It's not anybody else's responsibility to make you better. It's your responsibility to make you better. So I just admonish everybody to do that. And I thank everybody, you know, for joining the show. And I thank you guys for calling in and giving your testimony and making your voice heard, because like I said, that's what this is all about, joining the dialogue and becoming, you know, a conversation between more people. Same here. I always thought it was a much healthier, I was just saying, I agree. I always thought it was much healthier to think positively. My whole life, I always felt like that. Like, don't focus on negative stuff. It'll kill you. I just knew that as a child. I think I always felt like that. That's why I've never really been depressed. I'm always upbeat. And I think that's the reason why I'm 43, almost 44 years old, and I can still go play basketball like a 21-year-old, you know? And I think that, like, just I'm not going to say that my mind is all of that, but I think that my mind is a very big part of why and how I think and the emotional attachments I attach to things that happen to me in my life. I think that's a very big part of my personal health, but that's another story. I'm listening. Go ahead. Well, I think it's definitely a good thing to be confident like that, but also rather than say never, I would never say never. I would say just be grateful that it's not happened before, and be grateful that you're not, you know, attracting those kind of negative incidents and accidents and illnesses into your vortex. But never say never now, because, you know, you don't want to have to eat those words. So don't ever say this can't happen to me, because, you know, it's a crazy universe out here. This matrix that we live in, you know, can really be, right? But, Thank you for coming and sharing your information. We definitely will. And one thing, I think what I want to talk about next week, I came across a doctor. His name is Dr. Lila Africa, and it's spelled L-L-A-I-L-A, and then Africa with a K, A-F-R-I-K-A, Dr. L-L-A-I-L-A, space, Africa, A-F-R-I-K-A, Dr. Lila Africa. This guy, it's a man, and he is giving some really controversial information out with regard to diet and health, and it's going to blow most people's minds. I agree with a lot. It's not about agree. It's things that I want to research, because I can't say that. I mean, it's a lot of what he says resonates with me, but some of it I just haven't verified, and I don't know if I can verify without doing studies or researching studies on it. But he talks a lot about, I mean, much of what he says I agree with. Some of what he says I'm just not so sure. I'll give you an example. He talks about distilled things, and I know that, like, you know, that's what the industrial the Industrial Revolution did for much of the natural health and healing things we had on this planet. For example, there was never really an alcohol epidemic until beer or ale or fermented alcohol until it was discovered how to distill that into a higher, more potent form of alcohol that today we call spirits and liquor. There wasn't liquor in ancient Egypt. There was beer. Barley was used to make beer. So that's why you can go through, and there was people that, like, would get drunk and stuff like that, because you can drink too much beer and get drunk. But imagine what the United States would be like if there was no liquor, if there was only beer. You understand what I'm saying? Distilling things is where the poison comes in at. And he talks a lot about that. And he talks about how in order for you to have better health, it is very, very, very necessary to get off of all distilled substances like sugar. Like sugar cane, you can suck on a sugar cane all day long and it doesn't spike your glycemic index and cause diabetes the way powdered white distilled sugar does. And not only that, that's one distilled version. It gets more distilled when you get into things like high fructose corn syrup. And even what they, what's the one thing that starts with an A, it's a fruit it's a fruit, and they distill the sweetener from the fruit, and it was on the nutrition, like it was on the health food market for a long time, and people thought that you should not use sugar, you should use this instead. It was some kind of syrup, but it was like supposed to be all natural, and then it turns out that it really wasn't. And for some reason, I know the word, but for some reason, I mean, I drank it for years, and then once I found out that it was a distilled refined sugar that had the same effect on your glycemic index. It's called agave nectar. Agave sugar is the same, it does the same harm to your body as high fructose corn syrup. They're both, it definitely does. I agree. That's why they call it spirits, right? But I said, I know that's why they call it spirits, right? You know, but what I was getting into, what I was talking about with this guy, Dr. Lila Africa, was that he got really heavy into the distilled substances. But if you hear him talking about it, you can tell like the guy has done a lot of research on this and he seems to know what he's talking about. But I want to go personally and verify a lot of stuff, what he's saying, because he's saying he's coming to some conclusions. It's not the facts, it's the conclusions he's drawing from the facts and what these studies are showing. For example, one thing, the thing that he said that resonated with me the most, that I wouldn't mind pointing out to people and I wouldn't mind admonishing people to do research on, was I never really considered bread to be a drug. But I want you to think about what I'm going to say right now and think about this. When you have a wheat berry from the wheat plant, right? That does no damage to the human body, really, to eat a wheat berry. Now, there is gluten in it, and gluten does, when eaten with other things, gluten does prevent your body from naturally absorbing the vitamins and minerals from other natural healthy things that you're eating with wheat. But that being said, when you distill wheat into wheat flour, into white flour, that is a drug. Now you've turned it into a drug. And that's why bread is so addictive. Bread is just as addictive as sugar is, because it's been distilled into white flour. And this is why you must get white flour. I understand that. But what I'm saying is you hear people say, oh, I don't want to, you shouldn't eat bread, you shouldn't eat carbs, you shouldn't eat this and that, you shouldn't eat gluten. But have you ever heard someone say that white flour is a distilled drug? I never heard that phrase used. And when I heard it, it just clicked and resonated. This is how semantics gets us deluded into thinking that we're not taking drugs. See, drugs, chemicals, and food are all the same thing. They're all the same thing. You know what I mean? Like, for example, they call caffeine and coffee a drug. Right? Sometimes people call it a drug, but it's a plant. If you have a coffee bean and you eat a coffee bean, that's healthy for your body. That's not harmful for your body at all. But when you distill it, you see what I'm saying? Now it's a drug. Almost every drug on the planet starts, you know, that's what I mean. Like almost all of the plants on the planet, almost all of the drugs on the planet come from a plant. And the plant that they are distilled from is usually not a drug. If you do a coca leaf, you're not going to have you're not going to be jittery high like you would if you snorted a line of distilled cocaine that's 90% pure. If you were to eat a few poppy seeds, you might feel good. You might take pain away, but you're not going to be nodding off like you would if you had heroin injected into your arm or overdose or worse, you know what I mean? Or carfentanil or one of these super, super distilled opiates. They've turned the poppy plant, which has always been a medicine throughout human history, into now a distilled drug that you can throw on someone's skin. You can throw carfentanil on someone's skin and kill them immediately. That's not something that needs to be around. You know, they've had sugar cane for thousands of years, all in the Americas. People been eating sugarcane for countless centuries and thousands of years. And then all of a sudden, it becomes distilled into white sugar. And now it is a drug. And it is one of the biggest problem drugs. It's probably the biggest problem drug in America other than alcohol. It's causing more disease and obesity and just basically uncomfortable early deaths than anything else I can think of other than alcohol. Carfentanil, fentanyl, alcohol, and white sugar are the three biggest killers in the United States that I can personally think of. And the only thing that's gonna stop it is for people to become aware of it and stop buying it. Because if you don't buy it and there's no money in it, corporations will avoid it. Corporations are here to make money. They don't care about you. They don't operate with love. They operate with fear of not having money. And your life is not as important, is not as big to them as their fear of not having enough money. So I think that it's very important for people to take it upon themselves to educate themselves about what is going into their body and speak with your pocketbook. If you don't want to see a McDonald's in your neighborhood, then don't go to McDonald's. If you don't want to see a bar on your corner selling alcohol or a liquor store on your corner selling alcohol, selling distilled drugs, then don't go buy that. It's simple as that. Speak with your pocketbook. And the more of us that become informed about what's happening and start to speak with our pocketbook, the faster our civilization and our society is going to transform into one that focuses on love and less on profit. And it's really as simple as that. Well, props to you for having that awareness. And I'm really glad and thankful that you're spreading, you know, for sure. Well, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate you as always. Nothing but love. You be safe. All right. You take care. Thanks for calling. All right, you guys. I think we're going to have to show up on that note unless the phone rings again or unless somebody posts a comment right now. Then I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up for today. And actually, you know what? I also did want to mention a couple of more things. One thing that really kind of rang my bell was there was an article I saw about two guys in Canada that got fired after using the word Eskimo in a private conversation. And I mean, when I say political correctness, it is getting like pretty crazy. Like they were getting, long story short, they were boarding a flight from Labrador to Newfoundland or something like that. I think Dave Beck said the word Eskimo, and then his friend responded and said, "Can you smell him?" And someone heard him and said and mentioned it, you know, to the authorities on the plane or whatever. And the guy was basically not trying to be racist. He was really just culturally ignorant. And there are a lot, or basically culturally illiterate, actually, but, you know, probably a better term for that. But there's a lot of that going on. And there's a lot of us who are culturally illiterate. We don't know enough about other cultures. And one thing I want to point out before I get off the air, I want to end the show on this note, is that as someone who comes from a marriage of two people from different cultures, my mother is European descent and Native American, and my father is African descent and Native American. I've never really had racist tendencies. I think that we have all been programmed with certain stereotypes from Hollywood and from culture and just from experience, you know, religion and different things that have caused us to judge people and to stereotype people, and maybe possibly some of us even discriminate against people in some ways because of color, religion, creed, sexual orientation, gender, even whatever. I get that. I get that that happens in our world. Because I was brought up to hate homosexuals. And while I overcame hate for anyone, I do remember the mindset of people in the towns in South Carolina where I grew up and the fear involved with disseminating that hate and programming it into younger people so that the cultural status quo could remain what it is. And I understand that. And so, like I said, you know, you can't really fault yourself for what programming you were given as a child. But if you know as an adult that you're broken, that there are things that are not right with your programming now, it is only your responsibility, yours alone, to repair that. So if you know that you are not feeling and thinking love, fix it. Fix that. Eradicate hate and fear from your programming, because if you don't, it's going to kill you earlier than you would probably die of natural causes. This is not conjecture or speculation or opinion. This is actual factual facts. If you live in fear, you are going to die earlier than you would if you did not live in fear and if you lived instead in love. These are the facts. I'll leave it at that. I'm Jericho Spitz, and I would like to thank everyone for joining me on episode 9, season 1 of the THC Show, Talking Higher Consciousness. This is Tuesday, December 17th, 2019. We're signing off at 12:10 a.m. after talking for about an hour and 30 minutes or so. I'd like to thank Hanya and Monique for calling in and joining the show, and everybody else that joined in to watch the dialogue. Thank all of you guys so much for being a part of this journey. I would like to say one more time that you guys can, if you have the inclination to support the show financially and become a sponsor, you can go to thethcshow.com and actually sign up right there to join and become a sponsor with whatever amount monthly that you would like to sponsor the show with. We could use any support from any of the listeners or any friends of the THC Show. So thank you for that. And one other thing is, if you have any products that you would like to send to me, or any services that you would like to make me aware of that you know I can, with my absolute integrity, endorse. So this is probably going to be green products, businesses that actually help people and are love-based businesses, love-based companies selling love-based products that are here to help. Please hit me with a DM, hit me with a phone call, and I will definitely pump your concept, your business, your product on my show. And like I said, you know, with this book, the Biology of Belief by Dr. Bruce Lipton, and with this other book, Supernatural by Dr. Joe Dispenza, I've never met or talk to either one of these gentlemen. I know they're very busy. And usually when I read a good book, I usually write the author and I tell them what I thought about it, you know, and I've had some authors write me back, like Dr. Rick Strassman, you know, from that wrote the DMT, the Spirit Molecule. We've dialogued very much about, you know, my experiences doing DMT and things like that, because I messaged them. I mean, if you read a good book by a good author, then write them, man. You'd be very, very surprised at how much love you'll get from some of these people for showing them how much you appreciate their work. So, I'm just saying that when I pump their books and when I promote their books, I'm not doing that from a place of sponsorship. I did that just because I believe that they're here to help, and these books help me. So I know that they'll help you. So if you have something that'll help, I'll tell people about it for free. I don't need anything. If you want to sponsor me and, you know, have me, you know, put a commercial on the show or something like that, or sponsor your product, I mean, I'm sure we could do that. But like I said, you know, my integrity won't allow me to sell bullshit to people. It's got to be something that I believe in. It's got to be something that I believe will actually help people. And if it'll help people grow, and if it'll help people move towards higher consciousness, if it'll help people move towards better health, if it'll help people move towards healing this country, healing this world, then Jericho Spitz, AKA Christopher Tolan, will promote it. So that being said, I'm going to sign off now. I'm Jericho Spitz. This is the THC Show, Talking Higher Consciousness. Thanks for watching. Peace.